If I could give you the world on a silver platter, would it even matter? You'd still be mad at me if I could find in all this a dozen roses that I would give to you. You'd still be miserable, 'cause in reality I'm gonna be who I be, and I don't feel no faults for all the lies that you bought. You can try as you may bring me down, but I say that it ain't up to you. Gonna do what you do. Hate on me, hater, now or later, 'cause I'm gone.
You know, if Glee goes down in history as nothing more than a silly TV show, as long as it brings more Amber Riley to the world, like, I had never heard of her before, but every time she sings, this show gets better. She's so good. Welcome to Gleeful, a Glee podcast. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jen.
And I'm Ed.
And we are back, everybody. Back from Josh and Jen are back from their wedding. Ed, thank you for filling in for us last week. Thank your friends for us. They were both very entertaining.
Awesome. I will tell them. I'll tell them that.
I quite enjoyed. They had a couple really interesting opinions, but they were really passionate. And I've gotten Twitters before from some of our listeners that say. That are always impressed by how passionate, Ed, you are about Glee.
Mm-hmm.
And your friends were kind of equally passionate. And so I was like, man, Jennifer and I got to kick it up.
Seriously.
Me and my friends have some intense discussions when it comes to topics like Glee.
Well, we're going to cover last week's episode just a touch, just to kind of get it out of the way, the vitamin D that Jennifer and I were not here to discuss. And then we'll dig right into Throwdown, which is this week's episode. We don't want to repeat too much of the stuff that Ed and his cohort said, but I know that Jennifer, you and I, we watched the episode and we enjoyed it quite a bit, or at least I did, the mashup. It's not called Mashup. The next episode is called Mashup, but the content of the episode was the two teams creating mashups, the boys and the girls, and competing while they were all running on caffeine pills because Terry had been made the school nurse, which was just horrifying.
The most reckless school I've ever heard of.
It's so true.
but yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. And so and I thought that the two mashups were two of my favorite performances of the show so far, except for the fact that everyone looked like they were on crack. But the two performances I really enjoyed, the It's My Life and Confessions mashup and the Halo Walking on Sunshine mashup.
Yeah, I thought they were great. I thought they were perfect for each group because they weren't copycat routines, and they definitely showcased what each of the teams could do. And it's fun seeing the other characters have more than just a supporting role in the performances. So I like that.
Yeah, that particular episode, I don't know how you feel about this, Ed, but I really felt that with the mashup episode, and actually this week's episode, Throwdown, how they, with the mashup episode, they separated the girls and the boys. I'm sorry, with the vitamin D episode, they separated the girls and the boys. And then with Throwdown, where they separated the minorities from, I guess, the white people, is the right best way to describe it. We did get to know the lesser characters a lot more. We actually, you know, we got to hear Santana
Mike had
have a
first line.
Yeah, exactly.
You can pop and lock.
And we realized that the two football players are really just there to dance, which is good to know. Apparently they're dancers, but yeah, so I really enjoyed that episode, and big drama with Terry coming in as the school nurse to try to shut down the Will
and
Emma relationship.
Sorry, you know what's crazy to me is that episode was just last week and it feels like an eternity ago. Like this, I was talking to my friend Julia and Nicole about this. I don't know if I talked about it on the show, but definitely I talked to them. And I was like, with how fast the show moves, it's I feel like I'm like on season two already. Like in terms of like story content, I'm like, whoa, like it's a lot. I love it.
Yeah. It's very true.
Oh yeah, they're totally moving this along, and it is. It's kind of a lot to absorb. And we saw two episodes on the same day, and it's just right now I'm struggling to kind of sift through, you know, which was which.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know the overall chronology of the show, but for me to say what happened in exactly which episode, I don't know. So, yeah, it was great though. It was kind of a little treat to be able to watch them both, you know, pretty much back to back.
Yeah, I would say the big difference between Vitamin D and Throwdown was, whereas Vitamin D seemed much more about the kids, and the way Terry was going to manipulate the kids, and then Quinn asking for money, that was nuts.
It was such a throwaway though.
Yeah.
I think it's going to come back to haunt us, though. I think that's one of those things that's going to play later.
Yeah, it seems like one of those things that they're going to set up, sort of, you know, Quinn feeling less hopeless and less dependent upon Terry and more like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
So hopefully Terry will kind of show her true colors to Quinn, and Quinn will, you know, back out and bail on her.
Bail? Why?
I don't, because I want Terry to get caught.
Oh God, I can't wait.
I don't see. You know what is interesting to me about the last two episodes is how little Puck has contributed. Like like he was in it, he was there, but yeah. He didn't do much in terms of anything really.
It's an interesting point. I mean, Puck's still a very supporting character, so I guess I wasn't surprised, but yeah, I mean, as much as he figures into the whole pregnancy storyline, he's definitely going to be around.
Yeah. And he was more vocal three episodes ago when he basically ratted Quinn out to the Glee Club, so I thought he was going to be a lot more prominent. But
I guess he's waiting for the S to hit the fan, I guess.
He played the guitar in Throwdown. That was kind of funny.
That is true.
So we've got actually quite a few songs to play this week because we had 2 days of episodes. Or 2 weeks of episodes. So we listened to Hate on Me, which was from Throwdown. Let's roll it back to last week, episode Vitamin D, where they had a mashup of It's My Life and Confessions. They had two mashups, and this was the one performed by the boys. Actually, I'm going to reverse them. I'm going to play Halo and Walking on Sunshine first because I didn't like it as much. So, but we'll get into that in a second. This is the mashup that the girls did of Halo and Walking on Sunshine.
Oh, remember those walls of filth? Baby, they're tumbling down. They didn't even put up a fight. They didn't even make a sound. It's like I've been awakened. Every rule I had to break in. It's the risk that I'm taking. I am never gonna shut you out.
So there was some shock there, Ed, when I said that I preferred the boys' mashup more than this one. And the main thing is because I don't like mashups where they change the rhythm halfway through.
I like them both a lot, but this one has a factor I like to refer to from now on as the Rachel Berry factor. So, they were both good, but, like, there are multiple stars in Halo, and in It's My Life, at best there were two stars. So,
well, I mean, I certainly recognize the Rachel Berry factor. We're going to close out the show with the Rachel Berry factor with two of my favorite performances so far on the show. But okay. I just thought on this one it was a bit goofy. I don't know. And it's just the whole concept of a mashup. When you switch up the rhythm halfway through, it doesn't feel like a mashup. It just sounds like you sang two songs right after another.
Or more like a medley.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. But Rachel Berry's monologue at the beginning is amazing. And Angels.
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Her monologue at the beginning right before. Like while our equivalents would like to cast an inward eye on irresponsible life choices, something, we need angels and blah blah blah. I can't remember. I used to know that speech.
She's definitely a factor. She's always a great character. Well, let's talk a bit about Throwdown, and we'll get back to one of the other mashups a little later. But let's talk about Throwdown, the big plot this week. What would you say was the big plot this week? Probably Will and Sue running the Glee Club, and Sue's continuing attempts to destroy the Glee Club. I love the way that this episode opened, with the narrations that overlapped one another, where they actually argued in the narration and the fighting and everything. That was like when a TV show does that, I know that like that's when all bets are off and the writers are kind of doing whatever they think is funny. And that's awesome. Like, that was a great way to start it off. And Sue was there because of Terry's actions, which right away, Terry's ruining everything.
She is the devil.
But it was interesting. It seemed like for a while Quinn was going to be stepping away from Sue and not helping her as much. But
no, Sue needs... Quinn is jaded by the fact that she's like, I'm pregnant and this is going to be a problem. I need to get in her graces now. Mm. That's how I feel. That's what I feel the motivation is anyways.
Now, do you think that after this episode, Sue's going to shut Quinn down? I mean, it seems like Quinn's kind of, you know, kind of lost, at least the way the episode closed out.
Well, she definitely can't be head cheerleader anymore. Like, they need at least, she needs to start training someone else to do it, if nothing else, at least for a period of time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great to see Sue. She had a great speech on her show about minorities.
Sue's Corner, something like that.
I like minorities so much, I'm going to move to California and become one.
Oh my god. I think the best line in this episode, though, is when Santana, after Sue calls out the groups, and then Santana's like, and that's how Sue sees it.
Yep.
I'm like, I paused the episode and I died.
This was a great episode for Sue.
Yeah.
She was a great character this time.
Yeah.
She had when she was naming off all the groups, and she was like, Beyonce, gay kid.
Asian kid. Other Asian kid. Yeah.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
What minority, like, I don't want to sound stupid, but what minority was Kurt filling exactly?
Well, she called him gay kid. So I think she meant that he was the gay kid.
No,
yeah, just the
homo. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
The homosexual minority.
Okay.
It's 11% of the population. It's technically a minority. but no, that was kind of funny, like, to see them strap out. And then when the two kids left, when Brittany and who's the other one who left
Puck,
the white,
Brittany
yeah, Brittany and Puck, where Puck was Jewish and she was Polish, I think.
Or
no, Dutch.
Danish.
She was Dutch.
Yeah, Dutch
are minority.
That was great. A couple people emailed us that their favorite scene in the episode was the embrace in the principal's office.
Oh.
When he said, you know, bring it on. And she said, I'm about to vomit down your back.
It's on.
It's on.
they're so great together.
Yeah.
I just, as much as I usually hate characters like her who always seem like they're going to have the upper hand, I just love her so much. It doesn't matter.
It's really true. She's just so, I mean, she is an actress, she's just so fun to watch, you know? And it's like, she's evil in the most entertaining way. I don't know if that makes any sense, but she's like really entertainingly evil.
Yeah.
It's very cool. You love Sue, right, Ed?
Yes, I love Sue. The best scene in this episode, for me anyways, was when Sue was walking down the hall with the glasses, and Sue was following her, and she was like, Sylvester, Sue, turn around. And then it was that scene with the music, opera music, or whatever type of music. It makes anything dramatic. It makes it just, take any scene, like you have like chickens, like just on a field eating, and you like make it all black and white and have opera music and like violins going crazy, you'd be like, what's gonna happen? What's gonna happen? Oh my god.
Well, there's a certain writing rule that like they used to teach us, or I didn't go to writing school, but I've read a lot about writing, and they often say when the bad guy tells you what their goal is, they lose some of their strength. And yet when Sue totally laid it out for Mr. Schuster about, like, I am trying to take down the Glee Club because I think you guys are horrible and, you know, you're getting in the way.
The power of my Cheerios.
Exactly. For some reason, it was, like, equally entertaining. Like, she was no less evil having totally played her hand. So we had an email. I'm trying to find it here, but we did get an email from somebody who said, I wonder if Will's... wonder if Will's wife, Terry, was one of the cheerleaders who should have failed out of high school but didn't because of, you know, the success of the Cheerios.
She got she had a perfect 4.0 GPA, as she mentioned, in vitamin D. So, like, she would have been, she wouldn't have been passed. She got the A's.
Okay, so she's like a Quinn. She would have been okay.
Yeah.
That was a really funny one because, you know, I was a totally unpopular... reasonably good student in high school, and we always used to look at the cheerleaders and the football players and be like, you're totally getting by. Somebody's turn. Often they weren't, but good lord.
I had an interesting high school experience where it wasn't like that at all. It was more the smartest kids were also the football team people and the cheerleaders.
Wow.
So it was the haves and the have-nots.
Oh, good lord.
That's, wow. That's how I equate it to.
That's a tough world.
Yeah. That's like, I have, thankfully.
That's like Jennifer and I always describe High School Musical as being the story of two kids that having, the story of High School Musical is about two kids that already have it all getting more. He's like, mm-hmm. He's already the captain of the basketball team, but now he's the captain of the basketball team and the star of the school play, and we get to watch him achieve. Like, what's the point of that?
Yeah.
So the next mashup we had in the last episode, Vitamin D, was a mashup of It's My Life and Confessions Part 2. I, as I said, enjoyed this one more. But we will discuss it in just a moment. This is a mashup the boys performing, It's My Life and Confessions Part 2.
This ain't a song for the broken hearted. The faith departed, and I ain't gonna be just a face in the crowd. You're gonna hear my voice when I shout it out loud. It's my life, it's now or never. Say my chick on the side, says she got one on the way. If I'm gonna tell it, then I gotta tell it all. I damn near cried when I got that phone call. I'm so dumb, I don't know what to do but to give part to mine.
Better stand tall when they're calling you out. Don't bend, don't break, baby, don't back down. These are my confessions.
One of the other reasons that, for me, this was a better song is because Artie sang in it, and I love when Artie sings.
Artie does have a nice, very nice voice.
He does. It's a nice nice contrast to the other singers.
Yeah.
It's a little deeper and smoother.
It is. Oh, he's got, and it doesn't fit his style at all. What were you saying, Ed?
Yeah, he used a voice box at the beginning.
Yes.
Or not. I was like, there were so many things. Okay. It's stressful being host of this show because there was so much things I was thinking about that I didn't even mention on this because I was like too worried about keeping this show flowing. So I commend you, Josh, and I now forgive you for all the things you miss.
It is funny. There's always one or two things that right after we you know, stop recording that I go, oh, we didn't talk about that. But I really enjoyed this mashup, and yeah, when Artie performs, it just makes me laugh. We were just on his IMDb page, and apparently he was on two episodes of True Blood. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I don't either. Hold on. So that would have been from the first season, too.
Yeah, it would have been first season of True Blood. Neil or something.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I feel lost. Oh, for any of you people who do like True Blood, Godrick is going to be in season 3 at some point. I love Godrick.
I haven't seen any of season 2.
Careful, dude.
That's okay. I'm gonna forget.
She doesn't even know who that is.
Exactly.
She hasn't seen season 2.
It's fine.
So we got an email from listener Patrick, who had a really funny comment. He said, "Now that you mention it, I want to know about the guy who plays the piano."
Yes, every week I think of him.
Right? Yeah. He says he's always there, but he never speaks. In a school where Schuster has to pay to have the auditorium. Where did he get this guy? I personally like to think he had a DUI and is playing the piano as part of community service.
That would be perfect. That would be perfect. That would so fit the show.
But I'd love if, like, in the season finale, he just stands up in the middle of the song and goes, like, that was horrible. Just, like, give him a line. He's like Silent Bob.
He's great. And he doesn't have a name.
That's true.
Have they given him a name, or has anybody even acknowledged him other than telling him what key to play?
Pretty much. I mean, he just sits there and he has this endless series of random instruments.
Ready for whatever.
And seriously, the most talented high school pianist I've ever seen.
Without a doubt.
You know, we had some 80-year-old woman who, you know, could tickle the ivories, but, you know, nothing.
Desperate Housewives. That's like the best line from Desperate Housewives ever.
Wait, go on.
Which one is that?
Ivories. I never heard that until Desperate Housewives.
Oh,
so
really?
if you're referencing something else, then I am remiss. I'm sorry.
I guess I'm just old.
Well, that does bring us back to the Finn Quinn relationship that is continuing to develop. Finn seems pretty devoted to actually being a father.
Yeah.
And really seems to want to be the father of this child, and Quinn seems totally like she just wants to give it up for adoption. And there's obviously been some conflict over that. Ed, you had sent me the quote about the baby's name.
Oh, Drizzle.
Drizzle.
Oh, God.
I was like, what was he thinking? I was like, Apple isn't so bad. I was hoping that it was going to be, like, something not as atrocious. But Drizzle. We're not naming our baby Drizzle. We're not naming our baby.
Yeah.
Didn't you? You said, you disappoint.
Yeah, he doesn't, like, that was just disappointing name-wise.
So, well, it's funny because I used to work for a guy whose name was Andre, and I called him Drizzle. His people would call him Dre, and I said, I don't want to do that. So I would call him Drizzle. So as soon as I heard that, I'm like, oh, yeah, actually, I used to call a guy Drizzle.
Yeah, that's different. That's not a baby girl.
It also wasn't exactly a compliment, but.
Oh, it just.
Drizzle is an okay nickname. Yeah. Like, you don't want to be professional and be like, hi, I'm Drizzle.
My parents hated me so much. Call me Drizzle.
And the continuing concept of you know, Puck was pretty out of it this time.
Yeah.
But the big drama concerning Quinn was the knowledge of her pregnancy going public, with Rachel trying to shut down the blogger, the kind of
demented, creepy, disturbing blogger.
God, what did she do? She gave him her panties to keep him from running the story?
Yeah, yes. But the first pair had the tag on it, so then she gave him a pair of granny panties, and
that's
when Sue caught him. Oh, so bad.
He's a really funny character, though. It seems like there's a lot of shows now that have this blogger, this, like, hit blogger character.
Well,
every show needs its own Perez Hilton.
Like, it's a part of our world today. Like, we should, like... And it could be interesting plot points. Mm. Like, without that, what would have Rachel really done this episode?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing too spectacular.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. Like, I kind of felt that Rachel got sold short on this one, because it obviously she was, you know, helping Quinn because she likes Quinn, but she does seem to be... Or I'm sorry, she was helping Quinn because she likes Finn. But she does seem to actually be looking out for Quinn. Like, she does kind of have her best interests at heart at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, if only to be the better person and to just finally...
I think that's all it is. She wants to be the better person. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
No. You. Yeah.
So go on, Ed. You really think that, like, that Rachel has no altruistic intentions here? She just wants to be better than Quinn?
I think she needs to be the better person, because I think it just shows, like, I think it's a way of showing Finn, like, how much better she is for him than Quinn is. And honestly, I don't know how you guys felt about this, but I got a little teary-eyed at the end of Keep Holding On.
Oh my
Finn
god.
Was holding both Quinn's and Rachel's hand, and I was like, I had a moment, and it was sad.
Yeah. It was tough, because now you're starting to feel a little bit more sympathetic for Finn, you know, because it's no longer just this clear-cut choice, like, you know, Quinn is pure evil and manipulating you, and this other girl is obviously better for you, but he has feelings for both and for different reasons, and yeah. The fact that Rachel really is reaching out to Quinn, it makes her even more attractive, so it's hard, I feel bad. But Finn's gonna be crushed.
Yeah, he's gonna be crushed.
But soon we're gonna have the, because Puck and Quinn have that thing, and Puck is also gonna, like, I think in the next preview we saw that Rachel and Puck had more common interests. So I think it's gonna be like some weird love, like, trapezoid or something. I don't know.
A rhombus.
Love parallelogram.
Wow.
Well, I will say that you know, Finn kind of came out in this episode and admitted, I think through a narration, if I remember correctly, but admitted that he was genuinely attracted to both of them, but he didn't quite know why he was attracted to Rachel. And I can say, as someone who just got married, the most attractive thing in a woman is someone who believes in you. And that's why I married one. But Rachel believes in Finn the way Quinn does not. You know, I think Quinn has kind of said, like, you know, it seems like her biggest hope for this relationship is that he'll get her out of town. Seems to be her only priority. Where Rachel seems to really believe that Finn is, you know, destined for bigger things in this world. Mm-hmm. And I really can see, like, where this conflict is taking place. It's a very real conflict.
Mm. Yeah, and in Quinn's feelings for Finn are more selfish than Rachel's feelings for Finn in her wanting his success. It's for him. It's all for him. It's not her ticket out of town. It's not her coattail to ride on. It's just, she just wants those good things for him.
Yeah.
It's going to get messy. It's going to get really, really messy.
It is. What I really liked about Throwdown, we got a lot of emails from people that said Throwdown was not their favorite episode. For me, it was one of my favorite episodes because it was so heavy. Mm-hmm. Because it was still funny, and it still had all the great Sue and Will stuff, and it still had some of the best music. I mean, the last two of the songs in this episode were two of my favorite songs they've done all season. And yet, there was so much emotional resonance in this episode and really heavy, real stuff happening that Throwdown really worked for me. I enjoyed it a lot. How did you think it was, Ed, in the span of the episodes this season? Oh,
overall, I would rank it as one of the best episodes. There was no Sandy. It might be my favorite episode. Like, we're coming off, like the Kristen Chenoweth episode, The Road's Not Taken or something. Yeah. That was, like, one of my least favorites, and I think this is one of my favorites.
Well, and it had also had no Emma and no Ken, which was a bit of a bummer. Yeah, I don't want to
talk about them right now. Just let them be married. We cannot deal with this drama right now, okay?
Yeah, that's another distorted relationship. But the weird thing is, I used to work with a woman who was, I don't know, but she got married to another coworker of ours, and he was the puppy dog, and she was the one. It would be like if Emma's demands were mixed with Terry's psychotic behavior.
Oh, God.
And that was this one woman. And so she was very demanding in a very very selfish, evil way. But this guy just went for it. He just, everything she wanted, he would do.
Wow.
And so these relationships exist in this, I mean, this happened 10, 15 years ago, but it just reminded me of it. So... There's some crazy people out there. I feel bad.
We're definitely going to dig into Emma, Will, and Terry, and Ken here in just a second. But first, let's go ahead and take a listen to the, I guess, the non-minority song this season, or this episode. This was No Air, performed by Rachel and Finn. This was outstanding. So here is No Air, performed by Rachel and Finn.
Before I wake, it's 'cause you took my breath away. Losing you was like living in a world with no air. Oh.
I'm here alone, been wanting to leave. My heart will move, it's incomplete. Wish there was a way that I could make you understand.
I know we've talked about this before, but am I correct in saying that Finn had never, or the actor Corey Monteith, had never sung before getting cast on the show?
That sounds right.
I know he didn't sing in the audition.
Really?
Yeah, they said he just played the drums in the audition.
It wasn't it like the drums on like Pots or something? Or
yeah, that sounds right. Okay. Yeah, like he was playing the drums on Pots in his apartment, and then they brought him in to sing. Either way, it's unfair. That's all I'm trying to get at, is that it's not fair.
Wow.
But this was gorgeous and really fantastic and a great. It's great when these two have a duet together because their voices just mingle so well.
Yeah.
And so let's talk a little about Ken and Emma. Rolling back to the last episode, Vitamin D, which we didn't get a chance to talk about, where he proposed and she essentially said, let's have a secret wedding. And he said, I believe his response was, that's more than I thought I would get. And then she agreed to marry him, which was crazy.
Well, it was also a secret wedding. Nobody knows. They keep their own apartments. There's no touching. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's crazy.
What's weird is I kind of understand what she's going for, but I don't understand what Ken's going for. I don't understand what he thinks he's going to get out of that because he seems like not a desperate person. I mean, he doesn't really seem deep enough to, you know, care about her enough to be willing to make the sacrifice, but he's going for it. I don't know. Seems all about her. I don't know. What do you think, Ed? How about Ken and Emma?
I feel like Ken is going to... I think Ken's motives are more like, eventually, they're going to be married. Well, either they'll separate, or eventually they'll be married so long, and, like, she'll break down her barriers slowly.
Yeah. But I just want to know what town they are in Ohio that she thinks that she has no options.
Isn't it Lima, Ohio?
Oh, it's an actual town? Okay.
Just by saying, I don't know, we'll get an onslaught of email of people that know. So let us know, what town in Ohio do they live in?
I mean, I don't necessarily mean the name of the town.
Yeah.
I'm saying,
what type of town?
Where do you live that...
Yeah.
Isn't there...
Ohio.
You know, there's people for everybody. And if you look
as
outside...
As someone who lives in Indiana, I agree. It's Ohio can't be that different.
Yeah. I hate to see her give up.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, fine. She's not going to get Mr. Schuster, so she thinks. I don't know.
This season.
So.
No. I'm convinced that during the big meltdown that is going to happen, when the pieces all come together, Mr. Schuster and Emma will somehow end up together in the afterglow of it all.
I'd like to think so. I'd also like to see that actress sing something, because I don't know why, but I just think it would be precious to see her do a song.
Mate, I would love a Emma, Terry, Rachel, and Quinn, like, double, like, sing back and forth, like, Never Again.
Oh, with Sue.
Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
That would be epic.
Have, like, a little sing-off.
Yeah, it would be, well, like, not like a sing-off, but, like, they're all in a confrontation. Like, Rachel and Quinn confront each other on something.
Yeah.
And then Terry and Emma are, like, in, like, they confront each other, and then it goes into some, like, crazy huge orchestra or rock music. That's why I'm thinking Never Again by Kelly Clarkson would be appropriate.
Absolutely.
That's actually a really good point. You know, we've talked about how all the kids do all of their own singing, and all the, and Will obviously does a lot of his own singing. For a while, I just kind of assumed, well, at least after the pilot, I really assumed that Will was pretty much going to be the only one doing any singing with the kids. And then we had the acapellas, where suddenly we've got Ken singing and Harvey, and I don't remember the other guy's name.
Howard.
Oh, poor Howard.
And I know.
Henri singing. Oh God, poor Howard.
Dead? You haven't seen him, period, like at all.
Let's go back to how great Howard is. Howard is so great.
He's like this lovable little puppy that gets ignored, but is still equally excited every time you come back to him.
You see Howard in like a water commercial?
Yes.
I was freaking out. I was like, is that Howard? What is he doing? He should see some things.
I want to see Howard get promoted. That's what I want. I want, like, Howard to get some justice, because he's such a sweet guy, and he's just, I love when she's, like, asking him to get decongestants. And,
like, yeah.
I don't know if I can.
God. Oh, okay, but back to the duets with the love rivals. That just reminded me of, in the musical Chess, there's this great song in the second act called I Know Him So Well. And it's a song that's sung at the same time between the man's mistress and his wife. And, like, something like that would play off so well for both of those scenarios, Ed. That would be so exciting.
That would be great. And, yeah, the point I was making is just before that episode, before I saw Ken and Howard singing, I really just assumed that the kids were going to do all the singing. And now I'm kind of like, now that I've seen them sing, I wanted to see Emma do a song. Mm-hmm. I want to see Terry do a song. Like, I totally just want to see everybody out there.
There's,
Sandy?
Yeah, there's an interview, and I don't even know what it was on. I caught it on, oh no, they didn't, but there was a really cute interview with Jane Lynch and
Matthew Morrison.
And they're so cute together when they're not, you know, rivals. And the interviewer was saying, well, is Sue Sylvester going to sing? Because Jane Lynch, as we saw, has a beautiful voice.
Oh, incredible voice.
So she kind of smiled. She's like, you know what? I keep pushing for it. I don't think it's going to happen in the first 13 episodes, but I'm really thinking, you know, Sue's going to get her song.
Awesome.
And that would be so great.
Yeah. So it we also had that crazy scene at the gynecologist, where Terry took in Mr. Schuster and convinced him, and convinced the gynecologist to fake a sonogram.
Blackmailed the gynecologist.
That was nuts.
Anything that involves more Kendra is an okay thing.
More who?
Kendra. Terry.
Oh, the sister. Oh, God.
She's crazy.
She's crazy.
I know.
And she was trying to blame the doctor for giving her redheaded children.
Oh, God. And for them being dumber than dirt.
Oh, God. Yeah, that just killed me.
Yeah, because you know there are people out there like that.
There are. And that's what frightens me watching this show, is watching these characters and being like, there's people out there like you.
And now they're feeling validated in their feelings.
I know. I couldn't believe that they did that. That, like, they went in and you know, blackmailed this poor guy into faking a sonogram. Oh. It was pretty nuts.
Between Terry's ultrasound and Quinn's, we met both the OBGYNs or whatever, the gynecologist.
Right.
Sorry, wrong.
Right. Yeah, same.
Oh, that's right. There's only two in town.
Dr. Wu and Dr. Chen. We know them both now.
That's funny. I didn't even make that connection.
That's true. We did get the first complete song from Quinn. This was not released on iTunes, as far as I know, which is kind of crazy. But this is Quinn's You Keep Me Hanging On, and I thought we'd give this a listen. And here we go. Okay, my computer hates that. Why do you keep coming around, playing with my heart? Why don't you get out of my life and let me make a new start? Let me get over you the way you've gotten over me. Hey, set me free, why don't you, baby? Let me be, why don't you, baby? This was by far my least favorite song of the episode. One of my least favorite songs of the show.
Well, there's
so
only
far.
Three songs. It was probably the least favorite, but it was still great. I do wonder, though, with Quinn, both the songs she's had solos with, You Keep Me Hanging On and I Say a Little Prayer, it's just like when you think of those songs and you think of the show, like, Quinn would be the last person you would arrive with at singing the song. Besides maybe the content of the songs.
Because they're like Motown.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering if there's some writer on Glee staff who's determined to turn Quinn into this Motown diva somehow. Because she's totally not made for it, but maybe that's dream.
Well, I do think that they're trying to, I do think that each of the characters kind of has a musical style. You know, obviously Mercedes has the very R&B musical style, and Rachel has the kind of pop ballad,
musical,
you know, musical
theater.
Style. Yeah, whenever Finn gets a solo, it's like a Bon Jovi or a Journey. Yeah, it's more rock. And I just think that this is, you know, Quinn's style as chosen by the writers. But I do think that she is the weakest voice to be doing solos, and they tend to be the most repetitive, kind of boring songs. Like that song right there, like after a minute of it, I was kind of done with Quinn performing that.
But when you think about the time that those songs were originally recorded, you think of, you know, an older time. Like, I mean, Quinn is kind of this carryover from the late 50s, early 60s, you know, this more innocent time. And I think that kind of fits her style.
That's a really good point.
You're right, because, it's like Quinn is... Her mindset is to become that, 50s housewife.
Yeah.
So that's why her musical styling is like this.
That's a really good point, yeah. Maybe
oh my god, there's 8,000 new layers.
And I was wrong. I guess that is for sale on iTunes. I've just never seen it. I didn't see it when I was on there earlier, so I apologize for that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's not a whole lot more to talk about. Did you want to thank some reviewers, Ed?
Oh, always. I always have. Okay. Generous, Deidre, iCat, iCream, Bauer, Christy, MLE, Noel, Lady, Kazia, Adowney, Sharky, Cat394, Boy Robot, Claudia. We get so many reviews a week. I love it. Please keep it up. I read them all.
That's the thing. You can review a podcast or a song on iTunes and they'll never know. We will know. We love it. You can email a podcast or something, and they will never read it. We've read them all.
I try to reply to as many as I can, anyways.
Yeah, we want to thank a couple of our emailers, Carly, Amy, Silas. I believe those are both from Australia, which is hilarious. Awesome. Dominique emails every week, and thank you so much for that. Camille. and Christina Sabrina. So thanks to all the emailers. If you'd like to email us, you can do so at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. And Ed, if they want to review us on iTunes, what's your advice there? 5 stars?
Well, I would recommend 5 stars, but I will gladly take any.
Yeah.
And so is there anything else to talk about this episode? Did we catch it all? Throwdown?
Some side notes. Someone said in an email that we didn't mention anything about my hovercraft was full of eels. I don't remember that line exactly.
I don't either.
I don't. Well, I do remember somebody talking about, was it Sue who was waiting for her hovercraft or something like that? Sue said something about a hovercraft.
Yeah, I'm almost positive, like, with that line,
that's
without
awesome.
Any context, I'm almost positive it's Sue. But I don't, I can't process where it was.
Yeah.
So
listener Silas, please let us know.
That's like, awesome.
Because we totally missed it. Yeah, she's from Melbourne. How cool is that?
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
And then there's, and then I want to talk about, November 3rd is the soundtrack release and December 29th is the DVD release.
Awesome. And
volume 1, I think.
Yeah, volume 1. I'm imagining there's going to be extras. I'd be shocked if there wasn't.
Yeah.
And as my friend was talking, Nicole mentioned last week, it'd be awesome if they had a bundle with the soundtrack and the DVD.
Yeah.
I would be shocked. And
she could order that way on Amazon.
Yeah, or some digital download or something. That would be great.
I feel like there's something I'm missing. And oh, line. Okay, if I forget this line this week again, I'll be so mad. The line that I was so mad that I didn't mention last week was it during the diary scene for vitamin D. Sue's like, "Here I am, almost 30," and I like,
"Oh, I know."
Died, but I forgot it the first time, and I almost forgot it this time.
We so. Both love that.
I think
we both
I spit out my drink when she said that. That was awesome.
Oh, we didn't talk about Sue's Corner this week. We didn't talk. I don't.
Yeah,
think
wasn't that the one about minorities?
Yeah, but we didn't. Okay, fine. We did talk. Oh yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Okay.
Well, Sue's Corner this week
so
was
jam packed.
Oh
so
yeah.
Jam-packed. Yeah, listen to Somebody to Love Again, because I've been listening to that on repeat for, like, a while.
So. Well, they had one more big song this episode, which we will close out on. This was Keep Holding On, which was written by Avril Lavigne for the Aragon soundtrack.
Totally random. Avril Lavigne and Dr. Luke. If any of you songwriter followers, a.k.a. Ed, because I think I'm the only one, but Dr. Luke. He also wrote Party in the USA.
Sorry, I just assumed that Avril Lavigne wrote all of her best songs with someone else, because she did. So, you know. But yeah, so Avril Lavigne did Keep Holding On. This was a great number.
Yeah.
I loved this number. I loved the performance. I loved the sentiment, the tears. I was crying. Ed was crying. You were getting teared up.
I was. I actually believed Quinn's tears.
Oh, totally, totally.
Yeah.
And it was so great to just see them all on the stage again together.
Yeah.
Because as many performances we saw, they were kind of split up. This was really great.
It was just a really real moment. And it just, it just totally worked for me. It was fantastic. And honestly, I give Avril Lavigne a lot of crap because most of her music is. But this song is totally against all odds because it's got this weird syncopated hook and yada yada, but it totally gets me every time. This song, and it gets in my head and I can't get rid of it. Totally kills me. My favorite part about this number too was Finn can't dance. Finn can barely move. Okay?
He's so tall
and he hasn't quite grown into his chest yet, and the sweater didn't fit exactly right, but it works so well for his character. I kind of think that they were like, whatever we do, don't cast a guy that can actually dance. It like works for him in this weird way. So that's pretty much it. We'll leave you with Keep Holding On. I've been Josh.
I'm Jen.
I've been Ed, OM Glee, Jazz Hands. Peace out.
We'll talk to everybody next week. Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
You can say, nothing you can do. There's no other.
this show just totally makes my inner white boy Barry Manilow loving heart smile.
I'm just in shock. This is episode 7. I refuse to believe that fact. It is at least season 2.
I know. We're
near the end of it.
I don't see how we're going to survive past episode 13.
Wow. It is so concentrated. Yeah. I totally forgot it's only 7.
People are going to be dead by episode 12. I swear.
There might be.
Yeah.
Make it through.